From Inner Systems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
With Jay Hoffman, the former Vice President of Business Development at Henry Ford Health System. Jay, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who don't know, Henry Ford Health System is a 4,600-bed health system headquartered in Detroit, Michigan, with 10,000 providers supporting 20 hospitals. Today, we're going to be discussing mostly the Ascension joint venture that Jay sourced and ran with at Henry Ford Health System. And in discussing that joint venture, hopefully Jay will be able to provide the business development perspective to our more technically inclined audience. So Jay, the floor is yours. Tell me about sourcing the Ascension JV and all the different elements of that deal.
So I think the evolution of that deal really came about from a variety of discussions we had been having in the market with other health systems and looking at opportunity to partner and to get scale. Ascension had embarked on looking at their portfolio of markets, I'll say hospital markets across the country, and was electing to get out of some markets like Illinois, double down in other markets like Austin and Nashville. And in Michigan, they had a long history and they weren't so much looking at exiting as finding a relationship with an organization that could support the mission of their facilities, some of which had been in the Ascension system since the inception of Ascension from a variety of things. So it was really a, I will say, less a sourcing effort than an ongoing conversations with their leadership. Particularly at the CEO level, Joe Impeachike and Bob Riney, our CEOs, having conversations at a very high level to start the process of putting together a partnership that is very unique in the industry.
So I'd like to consider this deal. It's now there are conversations going on between the Ascension and Henry Ford Health System CEOs. And they're looking to potentially create a partnership. And of course, there's going to be a lot of impact of that partnership on IT systems. At what point do you bring in IT leadership into the conversation? And how can they make themselves useful and more valuable to facilitate this transaction?
You have to be very careful in terms of the timing of those discussions, because in a very complex transaction that impacts the lives of a lot of team members on both sides of the partnership. You know, I think at the time we had roughly 25 to 30,000 employees. Ascension had somewhere around 20,000 employees, 18 to 20,000, you know, so there's a lot of people to be impacted. What you don't want in a transaction like this is it's always a fine line between the number of people that are, quote, under the tent at any particular time and or have knowledge of the deal, very confidential discussions, versus the people that you need to be under the tent to actually execute on things and provide you. So there's never a right answer in terms of the timing of that, but, you know, it got far along in the process until such time as we widened that scope. Not by much. I mean, on both sides of the equation, this was a very small group of people because of the nature of the transaction. But probably, I'm trying to think when we did this, probably about, I'm going to say 4 months prior to the actual execution of a definitive agreement, and it could have been five, or, you know, somewhere in there, is when we brought in our CIO to start looking at the impacts and the potential transition of IT services and what that would take. We didn't allow him to bring in team members at that time. Basically, we just needed a high-level view until we could move forward, so that we could move forward and verify some of the assumptions about the cost to implement a conversion of IT platforms from what Ascension had, which was across the hospitals we got, which was a mixed bag of systems from Cerner to Athena to even Allscripts. So you had a mixed bag of systems across those hospitals that were going to be part of the partnership versus us operating kind of on one instance of Epic across our entire platform. And the idea, go ahead.
Yeah, so Jay, I just think that our listeners may be wondering a few things. Number one, you know, if I'm thinking I'm a CIO, I'd like to get involved more quickly. Some things to consider are, how long would you say the Henry Ford Health System and Ascension CIOs, how long did they have to begin to complete implementing this deal, right? Because the problem is saying, hey, we're going to execute this deal in 4 months, but 60 days after that point, we need all the systems go live, everything migrated and converted. But if you say, you know, you have 2 years, that's a different story.
So, yes. So, very good point. So, a transaction works very different, right? So, we knew that 4 month deadline or 5 months that we gave time was really around kind of looking at a high level what the potential cost of implementation would be and what the potential synergies from implementation would be. What we actually did is we signed a definitive agreement in October, I think October of 2024. Get my dates right. However, we did not close on the transaction because of regulatory approvals that were needed and other things that were needed until September of
25.
Right. So I might, I think that's the right timeline. I have to go back and check my facts, but it's basically, it took us a year to get to closing. We used that year. That is when everybody was under the tent, right? Because we actually announced the definitive agreement. Now we could bring everybody in. And so the CIO and his team and the Ascension team worked out, you know, here's the plan. Two big pieces of that. What is the transition services agreement from Ascension Technologies for supporting those hospitals before those implementations could take place? So basically continue to support those hospitals for a fee for a period of time. And what would the implementation look like once the deal closed? So there was a full year of planning between the teams that went into process before the deal actually closed.
And Jay, and so, on that part, we're a little bit less than a year out from the deal closing last fall. Now we're in July 2026. How long was the implementation projected to take?
So we got the we've got the years wrong, and I apologize for that. So we must have signed in 23, we closed in 24. So now we're a year in, right? We're a year and a half, and so we started implementing this year with installing Epic into all of those sites, and this is a massive number of sites. So they there was the plan was laid out. And you would have to talk to my CIO about this, but we called the project Luminate, right? Yeah. And essentially, we implemented the first phase, all the ambulatory sites of the Ascension facilities early this year in 2026. We just did in June of this year, we did the second big wave, which was all of the hospitals,
right?
So now all of the ambulatory sites and all of the hospitals except one are in our instance of Epic. There are some other things that we're doing in what we're calling a wave three that will take place in November, early November of this year, which will pick up the last hospital, which was on a different platform from everybody else, and some ambulatory sites related to that facility and some other physicians. We are also throwing in some non-Ascension facilities that have joined us that they all put in, you know, get the benefits of doing that all in one wave. So by November of this year, slightly over 2 years from the actual closing date, we will have everybody on our instance of Epic, as I understand it.
Now, another question a CIO who's listening to this conversation may be wondering is, so 4 or 5 months before the deal closes, prior to the year of regulatory approval, you're going to reach out to me to ask to evaluate the deal. I'm going to spend time on this. And then that following year, I'm going to spend a lot of time and resources because, again, everyone's under the tent. How frequently do deals fall apart prior to that initial close 5 months in? And how frequently do they fall apart in the ensuing year of regulatory approval? Because that represents, to me, wasted resources.
So when you say that that first close is actually a signing of the definitive agreement, right?
Right.
So the really the only conditions in a definitive agreement like that are really around regulatory approvals, right? So why does a deal fall apart? And there's histories of this around, right? Regulatory approvals sometimes don't happen, right? In particular, the Federal Trade Commission has blocked a number of transactions over the past few years related to combinations. So you'll see deals fall apart because of regulatory approvals. Right. Sometimes, not often, because there might be a disagreement or a failure of a party to, be able to deliver what they said they were going to deliver in the definitive agreement. So, for instance, one thing we struggled with, and we all struggled with as IT people, is you had in the middle of all these conversations, you had the Change Healthcare situation, right, which impacted all of us. Ascension also had their own cyber attack, which impacted the whole process as well. So we had a period of time where, you know, we had to work around Ascension cyber attack. Fortunately, we were able to recover. We were able to have work out a plan, but it did impact several things within the deal. And I'm sure from it's certainly distracted Ascension's ability to focus on some of the things we were doing around IT, because clearly, you know, they and the hospitals were overwhelmed by that situation, which was horrific. Right.
As background, Jay, quickly, prior to the signing of the definitive agreement, how frequently would that sort of scenario fall through? Infrequently?
I mean, you know, it's a strange world right now. Yeah. So, look, there could have been things in the control of both parties that would have led to the deal that in the run-up to signing a definitive agreement, that's a very touchy time, right? People can agree to disagree, things fall apart, and people walk away from deals. So, yes, that is the reason why we only involve a very limited number of people in that particular time frame, because you don't want to absorb a lot of resources. We wouldn't want to have our entire IT team focused on a transition of services for that four-month period, knowing that you don't have a signed definitive agreement. So until you have that signed definitive agreement, that's when you really are going to start absorbing resources, because you have a deal that few people are going to want to walk away from or can walk away from, except for exceptional third-party approvals.
Jay, that's a really interesting perspective for the listening audience of Healthy Data Podcast, because you have some VPs and directors in here who say, you know, we need to be looped in a little bit earlier in the process here. And the idea is, but looped in means allocating your time and attention, which is already stretched thin, for a project that may never ultimately go through. So I'd like to pivot there and ask you, what factors do deal guys like you need to hear about from the lead IT people about processes that would be required to be completed in order to ensure the smooth flow of that of this J joint venture?
So I would answer that in one way. It really, and I'll broaden it out beyond the joint venture and say, it really depends on the size of the transaction, right? Interestingly, the smaller the transaction, the more information I need up front, because the ability to impact the future financial performance and capital required to operate are really sensitive to change, right? In a large transaction, you know, the margin for error is a lot wider. So, you know, I can say, give me an estimate on transition costs, and it can be, you know, $100 million plus or minus $10 million, right? Or plus or minus 10%. And I might be fine with that as an initial forecast that we're going to fine tune later. That probably gives me sufficient, you know, amount to say, okay, here's that. Here's the synergies coming from that. Does that on a relative basis make sense, even if we're off a little? On a smaller deal, that margin of error becomes magnified, right? If it's if it's a 5 million IT conversion and you're plus or minus 10%, that might throw my whole entire transaction off. So I may want more of your people's time and attention on a smaller transaction earlier on than I would in a large transaction that has, you know, where I've got cushion.
So as we kind of edge towards the end of this particular podcast episode, I'd like to give you an opportunity to kind of explain your perspective about the business rationale for these sorts of large transactions. As you know, many health systems across the country are undergoing a great amount of M&A activity. I guess, like, where are you seeing healthcare in America go? What kind of, what would you, what message do you have for people who working in the IT vertical of the provider space?
I think what is really driving a lot of this is, you know, we all have a high fixed cost structure, right? And reimbursement for healthcare services is not getting any better. In fact, you know, the margins are razor thin. You know, and I think it's the effort in the back office infrastructure to get scale, right? To lower the unit cost of delivery. So obviously, you know, IT conversions, IT platforms, ERPs, very expensive, EMRs, everything is very expensive from an IT standpoint. But if you're spreading that over a much larger base of patients or employees, right, you're lowering the per unit cost. And that's really part of the driver, right? And it applies across the board, not just IT, but it's, you know, supplies and purchasing power, it's capital power, it's the ability to negotiate better with equipment suppliers and others because you are bigger, right? You have scale and it drives more efficiency.
So sometimes when people are listening to episodes like this and you hear, well, I know that acquisitions definitely drive more scale and reduce the unit costs, and the way they get more efficient is by eliminating redundancies like firing me and taking my salary. And that's an efficiency that's gained. So that's obviously a concern that some people may have. What should listeners be excited about? What are the new opportunities for employees of these health systems and for IT leaders in these health systems? What are the opportunities when you see this kind of joint partnership or acquisition activity?
Well, I think the employee question is overblown. We typically, and we did this with Ascension, we took on all of their associates who wanted to join us for a, you know, guaranteed period of time, right? I think there are, you know, IT's tricky. I'd be more worried about AI than I would about hospital mergers and acquisitions if I, quite frankly, was in that space. But I think what's exciting about it is, look, we are spending a significant amount of money, time, and effort to do this implementation. And I think, you know, as long as I've been in this business and, you know, it's over 40 some years, you know, the one thing that I will say and make your IT guys feel good is that IT has only become more, you know, important and more impactful on the delivery of care than ever before. So it's not going away. It's only going to become a bigger and bigger piece of this. You know, technology is driving everything. I think that it will, you know, it continues. I can tell you when I was first buying hospitals back in the 80s and early 90s, we hardly ever talked to the IT guys about a deal. You know, they were the afterthought because it was, you know, the EMRs were hell, we were doing most stuff on paper. It was, you talk to the IT guys, it was about financial reporting. It wasn't about clinical reporting. Now look where we are. Look how important IT has become, both on the clinical side and on all the other aspects of our business. We can't manage without it, right? And so all I can see is it's becoming more and more essential to drive value in healthcare. So you remain being the most significant part. Doctors first, now IT guys.
Jay, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Sure.
And for our listeners, again, this has been Jay Hoffman, the former Vice President of Business Development at Henry Ford Health System, discussing essentially the takeaway is IT is becoming ever more important and essential to every transaction in the provider space in healthcare in the United States. And they have a seat at the table, and increasingly they're getting becoming more frequently and more quickly brought into the tent. So, Jay, thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thank you for having me.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.